Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, it is so funny you're having a big storm, because we are having one in solidarity with you.
Oh, are you there? Are you having a storm there as well?
Yes, so in solidarity with Johannesburg, Modi Inn is having a thunderstorm.
You know what, the things that you do for us, absolutely absolutely amazing of you. Rolene, let's chat about the Kuwaiti Airlines situation, because we've been following this over the last while. Some Israelis were removed. They claim that they don't have to fly Israelis. It was taken to court. Bring us up to date on this.
Well, it was taken to court, and the verdict was decided that Kuwait Airlines were within their rights to escort these Israeli passengers off the airline, which to us is extremely discriminatory, and this was on board a flight to Germany. However, in the last couple of days, one of the German state parliament, this is the Hess Parliament, has called on the federal government of Germany to prevent Kuwait Airlines from taking off and landing in the country as long as it is allowed to continue to ban Israeli citizens from flying with it. And this was made on Friday in a resolution. And as we've just said, this follows the verdict in court in Frankfurt, in a Frankfurt court. And I'm not sure, and maybe there are listeners who can enlighten me, geographically speaking, if Frankfurt is in the Hesse province, but the Frankfurt court decided that the Kuwait Airways was allowed to bar Israeli citizens. So the resolution that has been put forward by parliamentarians from the Hesse government has got the following wording. It says, it is a clear signal against anti-Semitism and anti-Israel policy. And this is from what we understand is that the resolution is sponsored by Christian Democratic Union parliamentary leader Michael Bodenberg. And he was saying to the Frankfurter Rundschau, he says that as long as this kind of legislation is allowed to pass, it is against the principles of an open society and is not only an anti-Israeli policy, but clearly an anti-Semitic one, which is quite amazing to me, Howard, because how come, you know, some people just get it?
It really is incredible. It really is incredible. As I recall as well that the airline's not allowed to fly to the U.S., is that right?
Well, it's not allowed to fly to the U.S., and Kuwait does not recognize Israel, and Kuwaiti law does not allow for any kind of business dealings with Israelis. And from what we understand, it's not allowed to fly to the U.S. as well. And we also know that last year, an Israeli student that was living in Frankfurt sued the airline over its cancellation of his flight to Bangkok. Yeah. And the state-owned airline, when they found out the student's nationality, it cancelled his ticket, referring to a 1964 Kuwaiti law that bars any agreements with Israeli citizens.
Just to stop you there for a moment, unsigned saying, hi, I've had to pull over to the side of the road. It is raining so hard, I can't see a thing. Rainier saying, we've got great reception out on the East Rand. Brett saying, we are still fully on air. So thank you, everybody. Lots and lots of people letting us know that that in fact the broadcasting is okay. We just have a limited amount of control. More important than anything is that you please drive safely and slowly. Just make sure that your headlights are on. If necessary, put your flickers or your flashes on, just to make sure that people can see you and that you get home safely, even if you get home a little bit later. Netanyahu has said to Assad that if Iran sets up bases, we will strike you.
Absolutely. This is the second time we've heard, I don't want to use the terminology saber rattling from Prime Minister Netanyahu, but he's saying that, you know, this is if there are any Iranian positions that are within close range of Israel, and especially in Syria, we will attack. We will destroy them. And
has there been any reaction?
Pardon?
Has there been any reaction to that? I mean, there won't be really, because Assad is not exactly going to respond to Netanyahu and reply to his emails.
No, but where we have heard Netanyahu, and we spoke about it last week, he was speaking to Assad and he said, don't, please don't allow for Iran to gain any kind of footage on Syrian soil, because if they do, we will be forced and well within our rights to attack. And news just in, I mean, I know everybody's excited, myself as well, because, you know, jewelry watch, fashion watch. We've just had this in that our President Reuven Rivlin has offered on behalf of the State of Israel a Mazel Tov to Britain's Prince Harry and his new fiancée Meghan Markle on the engagement, and he has invited them to honeymoon in Israel.
I think that's a perfect place to go. You know where I would go is maybe that, what's that place, Bereshit, I think it's called, overlooking the crater in Mitzpeh Ramon.
Very romantic.
Isn't that a nice place to go for a honeymoon?
North. You can go up north if you want, you know, take a dip in the Dead Sea. There's some fantastic boutique hotels in Israel. In fact, the Norman Hotel in Tel Aviv has been voted the best in the Middle East.
So there we go. So I think there are lots of options for the young couple, or not so young actually, but we'll put that aside. And yeah, they definitely should be honeymooning in Israel. I'm going to actually ask Sasha if she can't put together something, because it's very much her Star Report kind of a vibe. She's going to put together all the places in Israel that they should be honeymooning. Natan Sharansky currently heads up the Jewish Agency. Who's going to succeed him?
Well, Natan Sharansky, and I must say I was very, very honored and privileged to interview him last year. He's a fascinating human being. If you're not familiar with Natan Sharansky's story, he is a great human rights icon. And maybe a little known fact to some of our listeners from those places with the acronyms, but he was a very good friend of former President Nelson Mandela. In fact, Nelson Mandela invited Natan Sharansky to be an observer during the first democratic elections here in South Africa, and we know his incredible history as a prisoner of conscience in Russia, prisoner of Zion, and he's about to end his term as the head of the Sochnut, or the Jewish Agency for Israel. So we have a very, very interesting, very diverse list of potential successors, one of which is the energy minister Yuval Steinitz. Another is opposition leader Isaac Herzog. Another
I'm sorry to be impolite, but I hope that doesn't happen.
Another one is Zionist Union.
Was it rude?
It wasn't rude. It was about as subtle as Chernobyl while we're talking about Russia.
I just honestly think never mind. I just think you need somebody who's a statesman.
Yes. I don't think that this one is going to go down well with the Israelis. We need somebody who has charisma and is not called bougie for a reason. Absolutely. Bougie is not exactly the most flattering term. Other candidates are Nachman Shah. Nachman Shah, very, very highly respected. He's a Zionist Union Chavei Knesset. He, in fact, was in South Africa recently, and Nachman Shah, across the board, from the left to the right, is very, very respected as a person. The other is the Consul General in New York, Danny Dayan. This might prove more favorable with more, I'd say, the Datilo Mi, or people who are maybe veering more towards the right. The ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, because he's about to end his term, and former ambassador to the United Nations, and my personal pick, favorite, Ron Prosor. Ron Prosor is a unbelievable orator, a very, very, very funny man, and has incredible charisma. So that's my personal pick for successor. But it remains to be seen how influential I am, Howard. But you know, you and I both know what we discussed. Yeah.
So then, why can't I put forward Avi Meir, who already works for the Jewish Agency? Or is this more about the sort of a ceremonial statesman type of position?
I don't think it's ceremonial, because there's a lot of very, very intense and very, what's the word I'm looking for, Howard, with this rain, so goes my vocab, very stressful kind of issues to deal with. I mean, one of which, and I've discussed it at length, and in fact, I'm loath to open the Pandora's box, and it's the issue of the kotel.
I knew you were going to say it. Don't say it. Yeah. Egalitarian prayer at the kotel.
An egalitarian prayer. So it's those kind of major, major issues. And I think Avi Meir is, I think he's extraordinary. I think he would be an extraordinary candidate. But I think that, and this is my personal opinion, I think that right now where he is a social media ninja right there in the trenches, literally, in my opinion, a general in that respect, I think that he's exactly where, for us, he needs to be.
I do hear that, and it certainly makes sense. German TV pulls the plug on Roger Waters' performance for reasons of anti-Semitism. This is good news.
This is good. You know, something quite extraordinary is happening in Germany. If they haven't told the Kuwaiti Airlines that this, their behavior is not going to be tolerated, last week we heard fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld for Chanel come out and speak very strongly. Well, it was against immigrants, but he warned against anti-Semitism, rising anti-Semitism. And now we have German public television channel WDR. They've cancelled. It's what they call their cooperation concert with the former Pink Floyd band member Roger Waters, who has completely lost the plot. And they join me in thinking that Roger is comfortably dumb. I would say the other one, but it's family radio, so I won't say that he's another whatever in the world. But because it... a wave of absolute outrage and protest broke out against the proposed concert. And many saying, you know, first of all, this television outlet wouldn't screen a documentary which showed the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe and predominantly in countries like Germany and France. And now with Roger Waters, should they have allowed him to play, it would really be insulting to the Jewish community. And a petition was put together with the title "No Support for the Anti-Semite Roger Waters with Public Funds of the WDR," which is a very long title for a petition, Howard. And the head of the channel actually said, you know, it's not words that are going to have any effect or arguments that are going to have an effect, rather clear action, and our cooperation with Roger Waters has been ended. So, yeah. And I must just say, I mean, I know that our friends with the dear acronyms are in absolute delight because Rag and Bone Man has supposedly cancelled a proposed concert in Israel. And I just want to tell them that we haven't heard that it's for reasons of supporting BDS. What we do know, and this was explained quite eloquently by Nick Cave, is that logistically, to come to Israel to bring a band, to bring all the paraphernalia, the logistics is a very, very, very difficult endeavor. So I think that before we kind of assume it's a BDS success story, should a band cancel? Not necessarily. Sometimes it's just a logistical nightmare. But here we have Germany sending a clear message, like other cities and countries across the world, that anti-Semitism like this will not be tolerated.
Absolutely right. And unfortunately, such a childish approach to what is a very, very real issue. Time is 5:55. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. You can catch Rolene tomorrow afternoon, same time, same place.